Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Now, most of us have them, but we don't always look after them very well. Well, what am I talking about? Our teeth, of course. It's said that smiles are sexy and go a long way when it comes to physical attraction, and that smiling is linked to happiness with the release of endorphins and an accelerated heart rate. So why don't we take more care of our teeth? Now, Spike Milligan had his own take on smiles, and he wrote this poem, and I'll read it to you. It goes, "Smiling is infectious. You catch it like the flu. When someone smiled at me today, I started smiling too. I passed around the corner and someone saw my grin. When he smiled, I realised I'd passed it on to him. I thought about that smile and then I realised its worth. A single smile, just like mine, could travel round the earth. So if you feel a smile begin, don't leave it undetected. Let's get an epidemic quick and get the world infected." And I think that's very, very true. Now, National Smile Month began on the 17th of May and ends on the 17th of June. Now, we might not want to think about the importance of our teeth until we lose them. And as we all know, as adults, if you lose an adult tooth, that's it, you've had it. It's prosthetics or dentures or whatever. So tonight, I'm joined by the president of the Oral Health Foundation, Ben Atkins, to tell us about the organisation and what we can do to improve our own oral health, not just during Smile Week, but all the time. And Ben joins me on the line now. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Ben. And thank you very much for your time this evening. Trust you are as well. Tell me about the Oral Health Foundation.
The Oral Health Foundation is a leading national charity which is working to improve the oral health of the nation, I suppose. Our goal is to improve people's lives by reducing the harm caused by oral diseases, which are basically entirely preventable.
Really? How?
If we brush our teeth twice a day with a fluoride toothpaste, if we stop eating sugar or reduce it to meal times, and if we visit the dentist regularly, we are going to stop gum disease and stop dental decay.
And it's as simple as that. And I think I've heard it said before, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that if our mouths are healthy, then the rest of our body stands a jolly good chance of being healthy too.
Yes, that's often linked. There's starting to become linked to the health and well-being of the rest of our body, because we say that the mouth is a gateway to our body, because it makes sense. Everything passes through the mouth to get into, whether it's eating, drinking, smoking, whatever, it has to pass through that system. So the mouth is a really good indicator of how healthy the rest of the body is.
Tell me about National Smile Month then, because this happens each year, doesn't it?
Yes, it's something I'm really proud of. The National Smile Month, it's our campaign championing the benefits of good oral health and promoting the value of a healthy smile. It's between the 17th of May and the 17th of June, and it's to raise awareness of the importance of oral health matters with the mouth and realistically put a smile on everybody's face.
And as we've said, smiling is infectious, certainly. Tell me about your objectives and what you're hoping to achieve throughout National Smile Month and what steps you're taking to do that.
Put simply, better oral health for all. Through National Smile Month, we want to highlight the importance of good oral health, not just for the month, but for the rest of the body too. For the rest of the body too. The events are taking place. Next Wednesday, we'll be running the Great British Brushathon. So we're trying to get as many people posting selfies of themselves brushing or videos celebrating the importance of good oral health. Statistics are showing roughly about a quarter of Brits don't brush their teeth twice a day.
See, I find
which
that
really
extraordinary.
Is quite shocking. Yeah, it really is. But our busy lifestyle changes, especially through this trauma we've been through with things change, habits change, but we understand that. But it's a real focus. I find it's a good mindful 2 minutes just for me at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. Or it's 2 minutes, I can get my kids just to have 2 minutes of just quiet in the house with brushing their teeth. It makes such a difference.
Now, we're talking primarily here about brushing teeth. What other examples of oral hygiene can we follow to maintain that cleanliness throughout the day? Because obviously we're going to eat, we're going to drink, we're going to do other things. And that's why we brush our teeth twice a day. But even so, what other things can we do?
For me, it's important to brush in between your teeth as well. Whether it's flossing in between your teeth, whether it's using little brushes, whether it's using some sort of electric toothbrush, it's really important to brush in between your teeth as well, because that sort of thing reduces the risk of gum disease as well. So you've got to think about 40% of the tooth surfaces are actually next to each other. They're between. So it is really important. What I often say to patients is, if you can't floss, ask your dentist or your hygienist or your therapist how they would clean their teeth, what other options you have and what works for you. Because it's not just about flossing. It's about doing what works for you and how you can clean those areas.
Now, there are a whole host of different types of toothbrushes on the market. Without mentioning any brand names, which are best, the manual ones or the electric ones?
It's a very regular question people say. For me, the answer is always what works for the patient, okay? Mm-hmm. So I will often, if a patient walks through that door and they are using an electric toothbrush, I generally can tell. When, before they've told me, when they open their mouth, I look and think, yep, this patient's using an electric toothbrush. That you'll have less stains, often the gums are a lot healthier. However, it's down to that individual patient. The research shows that if an electric toothbrush and a manual toothbrush are used correctly, there is no difference.
Right.
However, very few of my patients use their manual toothbrush correctly. But we're in a rush. We're taking time. If you make a cake, for example, majority of people make a cake with a food mixer. Technically, you could use a fork to mix the mixture with. But it speeds things up. It's more effective. So I really love my patients use electric toothbrush. I'll be straight on that. It's really, for me, I can usually tell if they're using it properly. It makes my life so much easier.
I mean, they're on the market and they vary in price, but the you know, sort of lower end or medium range ones, they're not overly expensive. I've used an electric toothbrush for longer than I care to remember. Now, when I was 18, I had my wisdom teeth out, so I've got gaps where my wisdom teeth are. So I have to be extra careful with my oral hygiene there. And I find, for me, going back to what you've just said, an electric toothbrush works for me because it allows me to get into those areas of my mouth, which perhaps a manual toothbrush, you know, wouldn't do.
You
know, and as I say, that works for me. I also have fissures in my mouth, which were sealed many years ago, but I think they probably could do with doing again. So again, I have to take that little bit of extra time and that little bit of extra care to make sure that things work. How successful have you been with past campaigns then, Ben?
Past campaigns are really successful. It's because we are very much about the patient, we make things fun. We do something called the Smiley. If you go onto the Oral Health Foundation's website at smilemonth.org, you can find lots of activities and competitions to do. So those interactions, we are talking to patients when they're at home, when they're in a relaxed environment. Because quite frankly, a lot of patients are quite stressed about coming to see me. You know, so if we can communicate that as a charity when they're in their own home, they can, For example, when you're brushing your teeth, if you don't rinse out with water, so you shouldn't rinse, you should just spit out, you can reduce the amount of decay in your mouth by 20 or 30%. Just by getting rid of that.
Really?
Just by keeping the fluoride you just put in your mouth. If you think about it, you just spent 2 minutes cleaning your teeth with fluoride toothpaste, and if you rinse out with water, you're rinsing it all out again. So even though all the TV programs show us doing that, just those little campaigns, messages that get across when you're in a relaxed environment makes such a difference to patients.
Now help me and humour me on this then. So I do exactly what you've just said. I brush my teeth, I spit out, but I use a mouthwash.
Yeah, brilliant.
Is there any point in doing that, or is the mouthwash still maintaining the fluoride? Because what I do is when I've brushed my teeth, particularly in the morning, I do it after I've had breakfast, so my mouth is as clean as it can be, and I leave it at least half an hour or an hour before I even consider drinking anything else or consuming anything else.
Absolutely. So that works for you. For me, a fluoride mouthwash, if you're going to use a mouthwash, I would use it around a lunchtime, if that's going to be your thing, because you're adding some more fluoride into your regime. However, a lot of people like to use some sort of rinse after they've brushed their teeth just to make sure everything's gone, and they can't quite compute about leaving that toothpaste in the mouth. It's almost like leaving soap on you after you've washed. You know, it's that sort of methodology. So I often say to my patients, look, if that's working for you, brilliant. You've got good oral hygiene. It's fantastic. I can see you've got no holes in your mouth. It works for you. I'm not going to say stop, because you've got to manage the patient in front of you. So that's why it's really, really important to go and to see us, the dental practices, as often as we recommend. Because some patients, let's face it, I would like to brush their teeth for them every single day. Other patients, I can leave it every 2 years and come to see me. So it's judging who your patients are for setting those recall rates and what they actually do with their, how their regime's working.
Tell me about the problems that can result with having poor oral health. Obviously, we've talked about teeth loss and, you know, decay and poor gum health. What other things can go wrong for us?
It's a lot to do with mental health. Because I personally work with the homeless, and you'll find that they can't smile at people because they haven't got the teeth. You know, it's that judgment of people are very judgmental these days. And if you haven't got a smile or you're missing front teeth, there's a real stigma around it. So that mental health and also worrying about things for yourself, for your own mental health, it's really important. It's one of those things you can control. And a smile is very, very important in a social system. We know that we're all missing smiles after wearing masks for the past 3 or 4 months. And it's quite refreshing to be able to smile at someone when you walk down the street if you don't know them. There's a social thing, and you only really recognize that when it's been taken away from you. So it's really important just to follow the three messages of the Oral Health Foundation, which is brushing your teeth twice a day with a fluoride toothpaste, cleaning daily between your teeth, interdental brush, self-floss, whatever works for you, and speak to your dentist about that, and cutting down on how often you have the sugar in our diet. Really, really important. And the dental disease is pretty much fully preventable. So if you just follow those three simple messages, it can make such a difference to your everyday smile.
Now, you've talked about homeless people. As you say, they don't, unfortunately, have the opportunity to maintain their oral hygiene. Who else is likely to suffer from poor oral hygiene as well?
It's really interesting, because you'll often find poor oral health does map out. It does follow the same other social economic mapping. Also, if you start, when you're getting older, your saliva rate reduces, so you've got less natural body responses to attack from dental diseases. So it's really worth. So that's the natural defenses drop. So if you're taking lots of medication, we call it polypharmacy. So you're taking lots of medication, and that can affect your saliva rate as well. So it's understanding that. So if you're going through a journey, it's always worth coming to the dentist just to make sure, look, how is my oral health? Because it makes a difference. And also stress, and stress makes a big difference, that drop in that your natural immunity, so your dry mouth and that sort of thing. So especially after this journey we've been through, the stress and the psychological issues is a big indicator in the mouth. And it's something we're working very hard with the profession to deal with.
Now, it's interesting you say about that, because when I do anything live such as this, whether it's this television or a public appearance or whatever, I always get nervous. And you should get nervous, because that means that you're on your mettle. But my goodness me, my mouth doesn't half go dry. And somebody once said to me, whatever you do, don't drink anything with caffeine in. Well, I don't have caffeine. I always have decaffeinated drinks. But I've always got water on the go in here, because my mouth always goes dry. I mean, the aircon is going 10 to the dozen at the moment, which probably isn't helping things. But ordinarily, when those nerves, you know, sort of come to the forefront, then your mouth goes dry. So I just drink, you know, water. But it's interesting that you say that. And equally, I didn't know that as we get older, our saliva rate drops.
Yes, it's really, really important. And also hormone imbalance and that sort of stuff. So drinking a lot of water is an important thing to do. And for me, it does keep that balance of that saliva up.
I mean, personally, I'm not one for fizzy drinks and things like that. So I will drink decaffeinated tea, or I'll have water, or, you know, those herbal teas. I quite like those as well. But we're finding, though, are we, that people are still not regularly brushing their teeth. And, you know, we've talked about people that don't have the opportunity. But what can we do to motivate and encourage people to make that time in their day to do that? Because, you know, you've already illustrated it's vitally important. And all this is preventable just by managing our time more effectively. So how can we encourage people to actually take more time with their oral hygiene?
For me, the key brushing is the one before you go to bed. Because you've put food in your mouth all day. And if you can find 2 minutes, just at the end of the night, when you're not rushing, We all know that. We've got the wonderful half-term break coming up. My little angels are at home, so the timetable gets thrown out the window. However, if you've got the 2 minutes in the evening to really brush your teeth well and find 2 minutes during the rest of the day, it doesn't matter when, it's down to, the evidence is showing that bedtime one is really important, because when you go to sleep, your saliva rate drops when you're asleep. So you can wake up with a dry mouth and that sort of stuff. So that's the time to make sure you've really got your teeth brushed. So I often get my patients to use the interdental brushes or the floss at night, so we know we've bottomed it. And often, if you get the oral health, your oral hygiene right, when you wake up in the morning, your mouth actually feels okay. However, you've got to find that other time to brush your teeth for 2 minutes. So it's that habit forming. And I know when you're rushing out to work in the morning, it might not be the time. So brush them at lunchtime. Find those extra 2 minutes during the day, and you will have them at some point. But it's just that fight sometimes with our phenomenally hectic lifestyle.
I know my mouth always feels better when I brush my teeth, and I feel better in myself as well, which may sound a daft thing to say, but again, that's my own experience. But you know, we're not very good at listening to our dentist, and some people don't even go and see a dentist, for fear of going to the dentist that a lot of people have. Yeah. How can we encourage people to listen to our dental professionals?
For me, the key thing is just going along to chat to your dentist before there's a problem. I struggle with patients who maybe only come to see me when they're in pain, mm-hmm. because it's so hard for that patient to come through the door. They're really on edge, and their first experiences with me is when they're already in pain and a heightened stress level. So my biggest advice to my patients always is come and see us before that happens, and it's just an examination. Sometimes it's just coming in, say, "Hi, Ben. My name is," and I sit down and talk with my patients. It's building that confidence up, and if you take control, I've seen so many patients over the past 20 years practicing who have beaten their fears of the dentist, and they turn around and go, "Was that it? Was that all I was worried about?" Because technology has moved so far on in dentistry that there is no reason to feel anything whatsoever now. And if it's fully preventable, once you've got everything restored, life is a lot easier going to see the dentist just for the nice things. Lots of patients that are desperate to have their teeth cleaned and the stains removed and that white smile they've always wanted. But once they've got over the threshold, it suddenly becomes a lot easier. So phone your dental practice. Chat to them, see what's going on, and see if you can pop in just for your normal examination. Let's get back to normal.
What's your view on people who like their teeth artificially whitened, largely for cosmetic purposes?
I have no problems with that, because it's about the eye of the beholder, because our teeth naturally get darker as we get older. So they want that ever-present youngness. I've whitened my teeth, and what I always say to patients is we're trying to whiten them so they're a bit like the whites of your eyes. Don't go whiter than that, because it can start looking a bit false. So for me, the whole point is let's naturally advance your teeth and try not make them look false, because a lot of the dentistry is now all about mimicking nature, making people have the nice natural smile that their friends don't even know they've had something done. Mm. You can always tell patients when you've done a full renew smile design, they came home and said, "Then no one noticed." I said, that's what we wanted. We don't want people to know you've had it. We want people to just go, "Oh, you've got a nice smile, haven't you?"
And as that's opposed what to, "Oh, look at his teeth," or whatever.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. People don't want to stand out. They want to, if you put it into the terms of your hair, you want people to go, "Oh, you've got a nice haircut." You don't go, "Oh, look at his hair." You don't want to stand out, do you? For the wrong reason.
No, that's
the whole point is us relaxing and smiling. A smile is so important to everybody's daily life that you want people to go, "Oh, I wish my teeth were as nice as that." And your back of your head, you're thinking, "Yep, that's what I paid for." And it's a journey, It's very important.
I'd just and like
it,
some
it makes,
hair.
It makes your day. Yeah, me too. I'd like some hair.
Now, is it right that the original campaign began here in the West Midlands back in 1977 with Pam Eyre's "I Wish I Looked After My Teeth" poem?
It did.
How did that come about then?
Well, she was asked she was asked to do it, and she did, and it was written, and it got to the top 10 of Britain's favourite 100 poems that year. And it was such a successful thing that it was the precursor in 1979 to the actual National Smile Month campaign starting, which went strength to strength. And I've got thousands of organisations across the UK taking part every year. And people who are non-dentists are celebrating National Smile Month, especially on the old Instagram and Twitter and all that sort of stuff. We get some really nice comments because it's a really positive campaign, and it really does make people smile, which is quite fortuitous, really.
How can we find out more, Ben?
If you've got time, pop onto our website, which is smilemonth.org, which has got loads of activities. If you're a teacher, there is our Tooth Buddy scheme, which I used this week with my children's class at school, and there's all lesson plans and activities, and it's half term. Download them. It'll give you 10 minutes with your children, just peace of mind. Have a cup of tea, brush your teeth. But if you want to follow the campaign, we're using the at Smile Month on Twitter and Facebook. And you can also find us on Instagram at the All Health Foundation. So it's at All Health Foundation.
And it's so important then, to summarise then, brushing our teeth twice a day with a fluoride toothpaste.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Easy as that.
Cleaning daily between our teeth. Yep. Between our teeth with incidental brushes or floss, and cutting down how often we have the sugary snacks in our diet.
Ben Atkins, President of the Oral Health Foundation, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.